What's up, everybody? Welcome to the pod. This is week 9. I'm coming at you live from Chi-Town. And with that caveat comes not only a full belly of deep dish pizza on my part, so I might be a little sluggish here, but also an apology. I'm in Central Time. I've got a few more work engagements in the evenings than I usually do, and finding time to get some phone calls in with East Coast people or anyone really just proved impossible this week. So this is going to be quick. It's going to be a little simpler. We're not going to have anyone else on, unfortunately, but we'll get some extra people on in the next couple of weeks. Maybe we'll do like a big Thanksgiving pod. Everybody will be traveling, so time in some airports, we'll make it happen. But I do want to cover some things, recap the week, and look forward to next week because we're coming down to some pivotal weeks here. Just 4 weeks left, and things are heating up. Playoff picture's coming into form. Championship's coming into form. Some exciting stuff. So without further ado, we'll get into it. This week was big. Cole, obviously, probably the biggest story. Cole came in just 0.4 of a point behind the season record that Matt set in week 4 for most points. Finally got high points of the week, one of the things I've been dogging him on all week. And obviously a big win over Johnny after I all but guaranteed Johnny would win last week on this pod. So, sucks. I want to chase down Cole, but he's making it harder and harder to do. Just keeps winning, and there's nothing I can do about that. Probably the next biggest story, Anurag beating Aditya in the Battle of the Botnagers. This has some big implications because now the difference between both of them being 4-4 versus Anurag now having 5 wins, Aditya, 6-game losing streak, went from 3-0 to 3-6. Reeling, falls back in the standings, and things are just not looking good there. Also, Anurag called his, well, I don't know if he called a shot, but Anurag talked a big game. He quote tweeted me or whatever, quote texted the podcast a few weeks back where I said that Anurag was more likely to end up in the championship than Aditya. Pretty much put a nail in the coffin for that theory, played himself out of it, put his money where his mouth is. Props to you, Anurag. I'll give you credit where credit's due. I beat Hank. Nothing to say there. That was expected. I scored an average number of points. Hank scored 100 points, and Hank got a loss. That's how that should go week in and week out. This is a prototypical let's just beat Hank and get him back to where his record should be type matchup. Matt and Chris, I guess this was the suck-off of the week. Matt gets his second win. That's big. Chris still only has 3 wins. Really, the story here is the bottom half. I mean, Matt was the only team in the bottom half to get a win, and that's great news if you're Matt. It's probably good news. Even if you're Hank, it's probably good news. But basically, the bottom stayed the bottom, and there's still room to play yourself out of the championship, play yourself into the championship, play yourself into the playoffs. All 5 teams below 500 could really reshuffle in a number of ways. I was hoping for a little bit more fireworks from the Dallas defense. I wasn't paying too close of attention, but I do know at one point Chris was within like 5 or 6 tenths of a point when Dallas D had 3 turnovers and hadn't given up many points yet. I was thinking this would be a Hank-esque finish if Chris could close this while Matt's on a plane to Asia and who knows, but didn't end up working out. Score makes it look like it wasn't even ever that close, but it was. Trey, big win over Roe. Probably maybe this should have been the lead story. 2 teams. Trey's second Clash of the Titans. It's with a different Titan than his first one, which is hilarious that was once what we called a Trey and a DTA matchup. But Trey now has a 2-game lead for that bye in the Tasty Trash Cans. That's going to be huge. Really hard to see Trey losing that bye at this point. 2 games with 4 to play. It'd be a strong deviation from the history of Trey's season for Roe to catch him now. Or I guess Anurag could also catch him. So credit there. Some administrative stuff here in terms of where we stand, what's been locked up. Cole officially clinched a playoff berth. No surprise there, but Cole will be in the playoffs. And then me and Trey joined Cole in the teams eliminated from the championship list. We cannot end up in the championship at this point. But there is some interesting fallout here for the championship. And that is, Matt got his second win and beat Chris, so Chris stays at 3 wins. Aditya is still at 3 wins. And Matt plays, if I'm not mistaken, Matt plays Aditya this coming week. One moment. Matt plays Aditya this coming week. So, while Matt is unlikely to catch Aditya in points, I think there's almost a 100-point spread there. Matt could catch Chris in points, and Chris plays Cole this week. So there's a scenario where Cole handles business, beats Chris. Matt gives Aditya his 7th straight loss, getting them each to 3 wins in the standings. And Matt outscores Chris by 23 points. In this scenario, if the season ended after week 10, after week 10, after next week, Chris would end up in the bowl, in the championship against Johnny, which is crazy to me that after all of this, Matt might play himself out at least this early. I would think it would take a few more weeks, and the fact that it involves, you know, coming down to a tiebreaker even against Aditya, is nuts. That blows my mind. Aditya, got to stop the bleeding here. And Chris, just beat Cole. Then you wouldn't have to worry about any of this. That would be great. So anyways, that's that. We got some other big matchups next week. Roe and Anurag. Roe finds himself in his second consecutive matchup with a team with the same record as him, where it seems like it's a big difference between winning and losing this matchup for Roe and Anurag. Hank and Johnny. Johnny, this is about as good as it's going to get in terms of opportunities for you to win a matchup here. So get that second win. Maybe you can give Aditya or Chris or, again, Matt a run for the money. Play yourself out of the bowl. Seems like 3 wins might not be – I'm sorry, the championship. 3 wins might not be in the – I mean, 4 wins, you're almost definitely not in the championship. So Johnny has a tiebreaker over Matt and Hank. Unlikely to catch Hank, but Matt and Hank, and he's not too far behind Chris. It's conceivable that Johnny could catch Chris in points 4 if it came down to a tiebreaker for any of this. But otherwise, it's sort of a tale of two tiers, the top, the above 500 and the below 500, where at least where it stands now. And we'll see how it all plays out. Hank's still in the playoffs right now. If things end, that's kind of crazy. But anyways, we'll do a quick power ranking. Cole, high points and the best record, number 1 in the power ranking. Trey, you're going to hold number 2. I think you had the second most points last week. Also, now that I'm matched up against you this coming week and looking at our rosters side by side for the first time in a while, your team is just insanely good. And it's frustrating. Very, very frustrating. So I'd be a fool to put myself above you, certainly. 3rd on the power rankings, I'm going to give it to myself this week. I handled business against Tank. I'm still on the hunt to track down Cole and get that first round bye. And there's now 2 games between me and the next 2 teams, Roe and Anurag, with only 4 to play. That seems like an important distinction there. So those 3 I feel pretty solid about being at the top 3. Next, it's got to be some combination of Roe and Anurag, and maybe I just put them as, you know, 4A and 4B for now and let the coming matchup this week handle it. But we'll go with recency bias. Anurag talked a big game, and then he went out and won. That counts for something, so we'll give Anurag 4th spot. I think I've sort of been dogging on Anurag's team in the middle of the season here, but I think they're still trending in the right direction. They're still putting up points, and obviously you have 5 wins. Also, James Conner is still doing James Conner. They're doing Le'Veon Bell stuff, and Le'Veon Bell is in a LA Fitness playing basketball according to Instagram today. So you're going to continue with that kind of luck. Pat Mahomes has not tapered off yet, which is shocking. He's got to come back to earth at some, like, he can't just do this the rest of his career, so it's a matter of when. But as long as it doesn't happen between now and week 13 or week 15, Anarch's going to be in great shape. So Anarch's 4. Roe had a tough loss this week against Trey. I hope to fare a little bit better in this coming week against Trey, but Roe's going to come in 5th. 6th, I'm going to give it to Matt this week. Matt got a win. The remaining 4 teams can't say that. Matt might play himself out of the bowl. That seems significant. Matt's made a few trades. Team's looking up. The championship will be way more fun if Matt is in it, because woe is me, Matt deserves some woes. But for now, you're blipping up to 6th. Congrats. 7th, I still got to stick Aditya in there. The tiebreaker alone, I think, is going to mean a lot at some point. But it's also indicative that Aditya just has a really good team. Losing 7 straight, I mean, losing 6 straight or losing 5 or 4 straight seemed insane. But losing 7 straight seems nuts. You have Todd Gurley on your team. You're still in the playoff hunt. Got a lot of things going for you. Some tough buys that everybody's sort of working through right now. So it's really hard to put your finger on exactly where all these teams fall. But I feel good about putting Aditya 7th. Hank's going to be 8th because 4 wins is just really important. And he doesn't play Cole this week. So I'm sort of projecting there for Chris. I'm glad Hank's back below 500. That just makes me feel better in my heart of hearts. But otherwise, Hank still doesn't score. He put up exactly the number of points we would expect. He should have lost a lot more games than this. Basically, he's, what, a game and a half overvalued by Pythagorean wins. He's 2 games overvalued by wins against average team. He's 1 game overvalued by simulated wins. Hank's basically holding on to Johnny's wins this season. Somehow that transaction has moved in Hank's favor. I've got 3 left. No, I've got 2 left. I've got Chris and Johnny left. For now, Chris is 9 and Johnny's 10. But Johnny, get a win over Hank. It'll do fortunes for you in the power rankings. Chris, I mean, go for it. Beat Cole. Please beat Cole. But that's obviously a tough matchup. Hard to see Chris getting that 4th win this week, which, depending on what happens with Aditya and Matt and Johnny, Chris could be in some serious championship trouble with just 3 games to play and a tenuous grasp of some fraction of that tiebreaker. So the writing is on the wall. I'm reading the tea leaves, putting Chris last there. All right, so the last thing before I let you go, again, this is hopefully the most boring pod of the year, but I didn't want to leave you without anything. Not offended if no one listened to this. Hopefully, it'll be fine. I'll make it up to you. But I did say on the text today that I wanted to clarify what Anurag perceived as inconsistency between 2 charts. So the 2 charts are that top 10 list that I send out every week, and then that percentage chart that shows you the likelihood that you end up with a certain number of wins at the end of the season that I started sending out last week. So basically, it's 2 different ways of looking at these projections. And the reason that I've only started sending out the percentages chart is because it's looking at all of the possible ways that you could end up with every possible number of wins. And those possibilities get so insane that any more than 5 weeks remaining in the season and the permutations are nuts. So it wasn't worth the time or effort or equation writing, but we've got it now. And I think it's honestly probably the best projection, and here's why. So I'm going to simplify this to a coin toss, and it's going to be, instead of 4 weeks remaining, we're going to talk about it as if there's 2 weeks remaining. So if I gave you a coin, and you're going to win, it's a special coin that is weighted in your favor. So 51% of the time you win, 49% of the time I win, and we're going to flip it twice. So the outcomes are you win both, you win one, I win one, or I win both. There's only three possible outcomes. If you said, Scott, take each of these coin flips independently and tell me for each one, who do you think is going to win? Well, I'm going to look at it and say, well, I know 51% of the time you win. So I'm going to bet on you on the first one. I'm going to bet on you on the second one. And I'm going to bet on you on the third one. I'm betting you go 3-0. That's what the top 10 list is looking at. So for every matchup, I have a calculated Pythagorean win percentage for every remaining matchup. And it's saying if the favorite wins in every single one of those remaining matchups, like we would expect mathematically, this is where everyone's record will be. And then how that flows through the standings and the seedings, this is where you're going to end up at the end of the season. So there, I think Anurag found himself seventh this week, eighth last week. The other way we could look at this, and this is what the percentage chart does, is instead of telling me, okay, we're going to have two coin flips. Sorry, I realized I just laid out three coin flips there. I didn't mean that. Instead of looking at two coin flips and asking me to predict who's going to win each one, where both times I would say you because it's a weighted coin, the percentage chart is just saying what is the likelihood that you win 0, 1, or 2 coin flips. It doesn't matter which one you win. That's the takeaway here. So the possible outcomes, and we'll round back down to a 50-50, a regular coin. With a regular coin, there's a 25% chance that you win both. There's a 50% chance that you win one. There's a 25% chance you win the first one, or a 50% chance you win the first one, 50% chance you win the second one. And then there's a 25% chance that you don't win any. What that means is it's going to lump towards the middle. But if I looked at it that way, I would bet, if I was simply betting, are you going to win 0, 1, or 2 coin flips? I'm going to bet that you win one every time. So in that view, Anurag came in fifth, I believe. It was saying it's most likely that Anurag gets to seven wins, and he's at 5 right now. So what he viewed as an inconsistency is just really two different ways of trying to project statistically into the future. With 4 weeks left, the percentage chart is going to show that everyone's going to win 2 games loosely. And if you look at the shading, it shows that for the top 5 teams, you're going to win 2 games, and there's a slightly better chance that you win 3 than 1. And for the bottom 5 teams, you're going to win 2 games, and there's a slightly better chance that you win 1 than that you win 3, if that makes sense. But anyways, I hope that helps, Anurag. I hope that helps you sleep at night. I have a little bit more faith in my math skills. Ironically, I'm here in Chicago for data analytics and visualization training. So instead of advancing my career, I'm just advancing our fantasy league with everything I learn each day. Got some ideas. The 2019-2020 season, I think, is going to be the year of the data visualization really blossoms in this league. But anyways, I hope that helps. Glad we got a short pod in. I pity you if you're still listening now that I've bored you with my own voice and math at this point. But I think that's actually perfect segue to our outro today. And this one's for you, Aditya. 1 sheep, 2 sheep, 3 sheep, 4 sheep, 5 sheep, 6 sheep, 7 sheep, 8 sheep, 9 sheep, 10 sheep. 11 sheep, 12 sheep, 13 sheep, 14 sheep, 15 sheep, 16 sheep, 17 sheep, 18 sheep, 19 sheep, 20 sheep, 21 sheep.